There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
I have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about Oklahoma City in this second hour because the anniversary is coming up Sunday, and it might be on the air, but I don't know if the Power Hour is live. So we want to do it before and not after. If we give you the information on something like Oklahoma City or Waco, right, before it happens, then you'll have it. And when it comes up, and maybe you're at church or you're meeting with your family or friends this Sunday, you'll have something to talk about. I think that's very important. Last time we talked to Dr. Wendy Panning, we've only got a very short segment here, so maybe we'll get started. She was just having a fundraiser, a crowdsourcing fundraiser for her book, Aberration in the Heart of the Real, the True Story of Timothy McVeigh, a look into the mind of this alleged American terrorist, a look into the inner workings of his legal defense team. We were talking about the Boston bombing legal defense team, a look into the controversial episodes and individuals within this contemporary American historical event that is constantly still kind of thrown in our face. Her new book is out on Trine Day, and it's always good to talk to you, Wendy. Boy, do you do some serious research. I'm just grateful to have you here.
Hi, Doug. It's good to talk to you. Actually, you interviewed me, I think we talked over the summer, but you had interviewed me around the time of the anniversary in 2009 before I even knew I was going to put all this together into such a book. And the last time we talked in August, I was actually raising money for the second book, which is called Redacted. That'll also come out by Trine Day. But I'm still researching and writing that. I still have a campaign going to raise funds for that research. The difference between the two, the first book, Aberration in the Heartland of the Real, which is going to be out in a couple months here, is really an in-depth look at Tim McVeigh. And then the second one really goes into the inner workings of this domestic intelligence, counterintelligence operation that was being run called PATCON. And there's been a lot of news about that in the last few months because of attorney Jesse Trentadue. I encourage your listeners to Google Jesse Trentadue because that man has done more to get information out about the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, than anyone in the last 15 years, really.
Yeah, it seems to me that everybody in Oklahoma City knew that this was a complete lie, you know, that they weren't told the truth, that they were bamboozled, and they have questions. The rest of the country seems to have moved on, I'd hate to say, but here we are at the anniversary, and it's going to come up again, so I mean, this is right on time, Wendy, but do you get that feeling, too, that Americans said, oh, well, that happened back in the 90s. I mean, that was way down the memory hole at this point. Maybe they don't want the truth because it's been so long. I mean, what is it?
I certainly come across that. I mean, I meet people who don't even remember that the Oklahoma City bombing happened, although every once in a while you will meet someone. And for the most part, there's just that continuous I guess I would call it indoctrination, this bombarding of this lone wolf story of Tim McVeigh. But when you really look into it, you know, this guy wasn't lonely at all. And so I think the perception is much like 9/11, where you're bombarded with one story that becomes this narrative, this national myth. And the Oklahoma City bombing is, it's a lot like that to me. But there's a lot about Tim McVeigh that just never came out. I mean, and there's been a few books written, but all of them have one certain take. It's the lone wolf, the pack of wolves, what I call the experimental wolf. But this book takes all of those stories and then tests them against my research. And in doing so, tells a very, very interesting story.
Yeah, let's tell that story when we come back. You're going to need the book, folks. Dr. Wendy Panning with us. I'm Jack Blood, sitting in for Joyce on the Power Hour this morning. We'll be right back.
Trish Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Gold is like nothing else on earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hour 2, the 16th day of April, the 19th day of April, coming here this Sunday, and we always do the shows every year on Oklahoma City bombing in Waco. I've had survivors who lost their children in both of these incidents. It's such a sad story, and one that never gets told, and Wendy Painting is with us. She has a book, Aberration in the Heart of the Real, the True Story, talking about who really was Timothy McVeigh. Dr. Wendy Painting with us. You know, Wendy, I'll tell you this. When this happened back in 1995, that means we are approaching here the 20th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, right? I fell for it, too. I lived, you know, in the West Coast, and, you know, maybe I didn't pay as attention to things the way I do now. Certainly there wasn't the Internet and some of the stuff that we have now, so it was harder to get the information. But I looked at that, and I went, okay, there's a wacko that killed all the children and blew up a truck in front of the Murrow building, the government building. And I came to find, looking into it, I was really wrong. I really prejudged it the wrong way back when this originally happened, and it was a huge wake-up call for me when I began investigating it.
Same with me. And, I mean, on its face, and I think that's what makes it almost a believable lie, is that it almost would make sense. It's a story that is easy to grab onto and to accept, but like you said, underneath it, you know, even just a small cursory glance at some of the surrounding facts and circumstances, that the story breaks down fairly quickly. And over the last 20 years, we've seen that that story break down, although now at the 20th anniversary, I would expect that we'll be seeing, you know, the lone wolf story being thrown out there just to kind of reiterate in the mind of the public.
I haven't really seen much. You would think leading up into this, I mean, it's Thursday. The mainstream media shuts down Friday for the most part, right? I mean, they really seem to avoid it, and I think it's just because it has become so glaring, the cover-up in this whole thing, the connections and the conspiracy, that I don't even know if they want to wake up that sleeping dog. Where do you start people off with this if they haven't heard anything about Oklahoma City, and then start talking about what you found with your research and your book?
Well, I guess if I'm talking to somebody that really doesn't have a familiarity with it, I try to set the context. And we have to look at, you know, the militarization of law enforcement and the use of the military tactics against civilians at Ruby Ridge, at Waco. And I'll tell you, just this morning, I was transcribing some interviews I did with a person who had been at the Ruby Ridge massacre, who was on site, who knew the Weaver family. And it's hard to transcribe because it was just such a horrible event, what was going on there. But so I start out with that context, and then this domestic law enforcement operation, multi-agency operation called PATCON, where, you know, under the pretext of stopping potential terrorist events, they sent people in to infiltrate these so-called radical groups. And some of these informants and people that were embedded into these groups are coming out now in the last couple of years and saying, we thought we were going into to prevent violence, but what we found was that we were inciting violence. And out of this comes Tim McVeigh. And so I start with that. I mean, it is a complex situation.
Well, you take a look around real quick. I'll bump in. We talk about this all the time. The 1993 World Trade Center bombing was an FBI sting gone wrong, right, through incompetence. You know, Andrew Napolitano, Judge Napolitano, I think lost his Fox News show for doing a story on about, you know, 20 separate over just the last few years incidents where the FBI was entrapping people or infiltrating groups and tempting them with bombs and plots and giving them money. I think maybe the Boston bombing might have had an element of that to it. But so this is something that everybody can see around them, but it's always buried in the story, right? That we've the big plot at Fort Dix, for instance, and then somewhere down the body of the article, which most people don't read that far, Wendy, you see, oh, the FBI inspired the entire plot. And in the case of the 93 World Trade Center bombing, they gave him a real bomb instead of a fake bomb, which nobody seems to really know about. It was all over the New York Times. There's audio tapes of it. Go ahead, though.
And after 9/11, I mean, the frequency at which we see these stories of these so-called sting operations that actually provide material assistance and provide the ideas, provide the planning. I mean, the frequency at which those came out after 9/11 is, I mean, it's accepted. It happens on the right, on the left. It doesn't matter. It's standard operating procedure.
Yeah, and it's a way for the Department of Homeland Security and all the various agencies now at post 9/11 to get their funding. So that's the part that everybody can understand, right? They got to justify their existence, so they do that. Or there are they're good agents really trying to find terrorists out there, so they go to Facebook and see some loser who's saying, I will blow up the world, you know, on Facebook of all places. So they find these mentally challenged people, and then they're able to manipulate them. How did Timothy McVeigh, what evidence did you find that he was directly involved with the government? Because I think a lot of people don't feel comfortable with that connection.
Well, I trace his time in the military, and I show some of the connections he made at that time, and then I can actually trace him up until the time of the bombing, associating with known federal agents and assets, and that's kind of continuous. And I can put him smack dab in the middle of two major counterintelligence operations, one of which is PATCON and another kind of related that was called North Star. And so I guess without giving away too much, I use McVeigh's own words. I use his attorney's words, their investigation, and just tracing his movements and putting him at the right time in the right places. I'm able to make a compelling case. Of course, I am unable to prove without a shadow of a doubt that he was working for somebody, but all of the information that I have is highly suggestive. At the very least, you come away, you can never hear the lone wolf story again.
Yeah, and one thing we do, we want people to read the book, so we don't want to give too much away, Wendy, but at the same time, we've got to tease them with enough and give them enough information so they feel satisfied listening to you on the radio and compelled to buy the book. So it's a nice
little chance. One of the things that the book does that for me, and it was the hardest part to write, but it's also one of, I think, my favorite sections, is I take you through McVeigh's life, through childhood with, you know, stories that have never been told all the way up until the time of his execution. But I go through day by day, hour by hour, his time in the Gulf War and what happened there and what he was involved with in the Gulf War becomes so atrocious, that by the middle of the book, you're so disturbed, and really there, you can't be too surprised with the things that come after that. But this takes not only McVeigh's words, but all of the men in his company who, had given testimony to the defense team about their experiences, and I just place it all together, and you end up with McVeigh's company in the lead rolling over Iraqis with these bulldozers. It was called the bulldozer assault, and it's just this wholesale slaughter that he becomes involved with, and showing how, lies that lead to wars and media control over the coverage of wars itself. At that point, after you come to realize the extent of the media control about telling the story about this war and what was covered up in that war, the cover-up in Oklahoma City bombing doesn't seem surprising, because now you've seen the scope of what can be spun and what can be covered up.
Yeah, I mean, how many people would have to be in on that? That's what makes this hard to get the ultimate connections, right, Wendy? Because you would only have maybe one supervising agent. It would be compartmentalized to effect that he wouldn't know what the other guy's doing. The other guy doesn't know what he's doing, and he might be the only loose end, and then he has an accident or something somewhere, and we wouldn't know his name unless you do, and I'm missing something there. So to make that indelible connection sometimes can be a little gritty, but we could just look at his actions, not to mention there's that odd picture of him after the bombing, or... When was
you're talking about the Bill Beam picture. That was 93. This was, it's after, shortly after Waco. But certainly for somebody that had supposedly become disgruntled about the government, he certainly spent a lot of time making connections with various agencies leading up to the plot, which is, fairly strange. But yeah, that picture that you're talking about, I think that was at Camp Grafton. But he, I think that's what it's called. He had access to, military bases. And oddly enough, this PATCON operation was one of its main objectives was supposedly preventing the theft and sale of military equipment. But he's like the Forrest Gump of the right wing or something, in that he just seems to be in the right place all the time at the right time.
Yeah, I think one of the things that always I never could explain that just seemed very glaring to me is that when Timothy McVeigh was making his escape, he did so in a car with no license plate, so he was sure to be pulled over. And when he was pulled over after this alleged horrific act, which, murdered women and children, he just gave up. Didn't even try to get away, which, sounds a lot like Lee Harvey Oswald or something. Dr. Wendy Painting is with us. We'll talk more about this subject, this issue. When we get back, it's the Power Hour.
We've all
all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Today I'm Jack Blood here every Thursday, sitting in for Joyce Riley. Joyce is getting some treatment right now, and please send her your most powerful meditations and prayers for a speedy recovery. We're with Dr. Wendy Penning today. Her book, Aberration in the Heart of the Real, a true story, available at the great Trine Day, T-R-I-N-E, TrineDay.com. You're going to freak out when you see all the great books they have. I'm doing two author interviews with Trine Day artists today. I've got the guy that wrote The Ganja Godfather on later on my show at 4 o'clock Eastern Time today, which is a really crazy, interesting book. But they publish the books that no one else will because of the just amazing censored information that's in the book, and your book is no different than that. I wanted to say, though, that there are so many issues in this. I know the listeners are really smart here. They know General Parton's study on the AMFO bomb blowing out and not in. They saw the reports early that there were bombs going off throughout the Murrow Building that day. That's mainstream media. Mainstream media, they saw the stand down with the BATF being beeped and told to text it to not to go to work that day, even though there were children in a daycare in that building. They saw the cover-up. Some might even know about the murder of Terry Yeake, witness intimidation, the grand jury, but just horrible show trial that thing was, worse than maybe even the Warren Commission. So, but you get into some really intimate contradictions and errors, just specifically to Timothy McVeigh, that maybe we haven't heard before.
Right. That's the first book, Aberration, which you can pre-order now on Trinday's website. And then the second one, which isn't out yet, will go into the nuts and bolts of the actual bombing. It doesn't focus on McVeigh. It actually focuses on these friends of his. One thing that I do is I test a lot of legends. And one of the, I'll call it legends that was out there that couldn't be verified was the involvement of Dr. Jolly West. And I don't know, maybe the listeners are familiar with West. This was a highly funded CIA psychiatrist who had treated Jack Ruby, Sir Arnold Strong, Patty Hearst. But there are always these rumors that he was involved with Tim McVeigh. And I can, I really go into depth on that, and I provide evidence and paper trails to clarify that issue. And that's also one of the stranger aspects of this, is the involvement of very creepy, spooky psychiatrist in this case.
He was involved with Timothy McVeigh. Are you contradicting that now? I'm not sure what you're saying.
No. He was involved. There was communication between the defense team and Dr. West after the arrest. But what happens is that Dr. West sends in his student, whose name was Dr. John Smith, out of Oklahoma City. And Dr. John Smith starts seeing McVeigh regularly. Well, like West, Smith's expertise was in hypnosis, was in prisoner of war conditions, was in some of these creepier elements of what you call mind control and brainwashing. In fact, that's how West and Smith got their esteem within the psychiatric community, was studies of brainwashing. And so I not only support the West theory, but I actually much further. I go much further into it, and I'm able to provide a paper trail, which, if you really look on the internet, you'll see the legends or rumors about West, but there's never any source material leading back to it. So I am able to do that. And not only that, but add to that, it's actually much weirder than that. He had one of the psychologist that was sent in there actually diagnosed him with dissociative identity disorder, which used to be called multiple personality disorder. Yeah. It was changed in 1995, actually, but I'm able to show that and then kind of show the process of how this person's mind broke down into so many personalities.
Yeah, there would be the two theories. One is that he was just a patriotic American, Timothy McVeigh, and he was somehow doing this to help the government move its agenda along, and he was, a good soldier who didn't ask questions. And the other one, which I think you're alluding to, which makes a little more sense to me, was that they had done some work on him, and they were controlling him, much like a Manchurian candidate. And for a lot of people, they think that's impossible. Look, it's the year 2015, and even 20 years ago, they had the mind sciences down to do something like that. But they send in the Jolly and West and the Sidney Gottliebs and these guys into the trials, and we see that today, to keep them quiet. I want to talk about maybe what happened to Timothy McVeigh in the end when we get back, and we'll take your calls right here on the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
She has a couple of new books out, and it's just on years and years of research into the Oklahoma City bombing. Of course, the 20th anniversary coming up this Sunday, so we wanted to get this in the discussion and put things on the record so that if you don't know about this, you'll have something to talk about at the family dinner table. That will make for a good discussion. You know, Jack Blood here sitting in for Joyce Riley today. I'm going to open up the phone lines, Wendy, because the listeners are so smart and they're going to have great questions and comments on Oklahoma City bombing. I'm sure they've studied it for many years. They might have seen the movie. They might have seen the movie that you helped to make called The Noble Lie. Just let me give up the number real quick. It's 855-995-6923. First come, first serve. Lines are wide open right now. 855-995-6923. We're talking about the Oklahoma City bombing. Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, I wanted to say one thing that might intrigue readers is I do take that in the book ends up to the moment of the execution, and I show how America's least competent executioner ends up being appointed to execute America's face of terrorism, domestic terrorism. And this guy that they chose for this very high-profile execution had it's very peculiar because he had been the subject of at least 20 malpractice lawsuits. He had botched several executions. In fact, he was banned from executing in a few different states. And that's one of the stories that's never been told. And it's not funny, but it's absurd when you look at it. And I think
some people believe that McVeigh didn't get executed, that he slipped out the back door.
The funny thing about The funny thing about that is that from the time of his arrest, and I've heard this from attorneys, I've seen it in memos going back and forth and other people, he actually claimed that there were moments when he claimed that he actually wouldn't be executed, and that's coming from several sources, primary sources. So whether that's true or he just believed that, it adds to that story, to that possibility.
Yeah, who knows what these people believe once they're in the hands and in the custody of the feds. You know, we were doing the Boston bombing story here for the last few years, okay? And then especially this kangaroo court show trial they just had with the survivor who they didn't want to survive, and now they have to try him. They put in Judy Clark as his defense attorney, which people like CNN are giddy all over. And this is the same woman who defended Eric Rudolph, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, Jarrett Lee Loeffner from the Tucson, Arizona shooting Susan Smith, and they just threw him on the
court. You got to look at the inner workings of these defense teams, because that's one of the things that one of Jesse Trinity's recent revelations is he is now able to prove that there were people planted inside of the McVeigh defense team that were there to basically sabotage. Now, I'm not saying that Tim McVeigh was innocent, but in the workings of, you know, the adversarial criminal justice system where you have defense attorneys, certainly this was not right.
Yeah, McVeigh didn't even really put up a defense, didn't want to put up a defense, and that's what we were all supposed to believe. He just didn't care, just hurry up and get it over with and kill me, which is another reason I was suspicious of the execution itself. 855-995-6923, the 20th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing at the Alfred and Murrow building. Coming up this Sunday, and Dr. Wendy Painting is with us. Again, 855-995-6923. We're live today on the Power Hour. I'm Jack Blood. You know, I had an opportunity to talk to Janet Reno once, and I asked her, where is the video footage that might have shown John Doe number two, might have shown what really happened other than, you know, what the government told us happened? The day of the city bombings, there were allegedly four cameras in four different locations going blank at basically the same time in the morning
of
April 1995. Yeah.
Yeah, there were dozens, scores of video cameras, all of which disappeared. The footage, or they mysteriously stopped working. You know, a bunch of them mysteriously stopped working. A bunch of them just disappeared. Paper trail on them disappeared. No chain of custody evidence.
What Janet Reno told me is she wasn't aware there ever were any video cameras or any footage. Never heard of it before. Oh. She was the attorney general at the time.
Well, actually, FBI recently gave testimony at one of Trinity's hearings. And he had to admit on the stand that these existed. This is all going to be coming out within the next few months. But this trying to get those videos going to reach the Supreme Court level. It's...
Are you suggesting that Janet Reno might have lied to me?
Well, in the world of, you know, compartmentalization, I can't. I'm not in the mind of Janet Reno, but I know that to be false, anyways.
Yeah, no, I mean, where are the videos from the plane hitting the Pentagon? I mean, they could just show us those. You know, every time the police shoot somebody, it's like, oh, thank God they have dashboard cameras and now body cameras, but those somehow always malfunction when something happens that they don't want us to see.
You brought up Timothy McVeigh's arrest and how he just peacefully gives himself up after murdering all these people. But one of the videos that actually went missing, also another Trinity case trying to get them, is there was a video cam of that arrest. And oddly, it only captured the last half when McVeigh's already in the cop car. In the police car, it does not capture the first half of it. And
mysteriously missing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe he just walked up to the police and said, I'm Timothy McVeigh. I just bombed the Murrow building over there, and please arrest me. I mean, maybe we saw that part. I guess that would be part of your programming, is to either kill yourself or willingly give up. They really enjoyed using Timothy McVeigh as the face of domestic terror. As you mentioned, the crime bill by Clinton and Gore came out almost immediately, as if it was written ahead of time, like the Patriot Act. It was the precursor to the Patriot Act. And after that, they wanted to implement Department of Homeland Security, except people like John Ashcroft stood up and said, no, that's too big of government. Which they did after 9/11. It's not funny. Sorry for laughing.
It took a little bit longer, but that legislation, the Clinton administration had been trying to pass the Omnibus Counterterrorism Act, which is the precursor to the Patriot Act, and they couldn't until the bombing. And now there's a face of terror, just, you know, like Osama bin Laden becomes the face of terror. And mysteriously, actually, we have two faces of terror in my generation, Tim McVeigh and Osama bin Laden. And there's not bodies for either of them, because among the peculiarities that surrounded Tim McVeigh's execution were changes in legislation saying they did not have to autopsy him. And they also they changed legislation to speed up the execution. So in our generation, we have two faces of terror, but no bodies for them. My book goes into that. It's strange.
855-995-6923. We're talking Dr. Wendy Painting. You're listening to The Power Hour. So much to talk about on this. I've done like 2-hour shows and barely scratched the surface. Let's go to the phones. Dr. Jones in North Carolina, you're on The Power Hour. Good morning.
Good morning. Just a couple quick points. Really great show, of course. the case of Timothy McVeigh, the car key supposedly from the Ryder truck was left in the alley for 2 years. The prosecution presented a picture of it in pristine condition. Again, the defense did nothing, and as we note in the Boston Bomber case, the Marathon, same thing, with the defense saying, we admit he did it, and the defendant said nothing. Usually, even in a trial, even if someone confesses, they have to give a confession. Here we had no confession, but the defense attorney saying, we say he did it. And then NPR, I have to listen to them, you know, whatever, they said over and over, oh, he's a confessed bomber, when he did nothing. So, we have parallels over and over. The only thing maybe your guests can bring out is the distinction with the 1993 World Trade Center bombing is you didn't have an overt government patsy. You had some guy who's recording people saying, wait a second, I'm double-checking here, who kind of backed himself up, being led along, but he wasn't mentally unstable, wasn't a government agent, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we see a clear pattern of people, the defense working for the prosecution overtly, not even investigating any evidence. And then, again, when they immediately give up, we know they're a total patsy, because anyone in their right mind would do a little
safeguard. Yeah, thanks, Dr. Jones. Right. And the similarities between all of this is striking. Go ahead and comment on that, if you would, Wendy. Anything you want to add to that?
I tend to agree. A lot of thoughts were going through my mind as you're speaking. There is, you know, there was a distinct monkey wrenching of the defense team and a direct placing of assets, government assets within the defense team to work for the prosecution. So I think that as media consumers, when we're hearing about these trials, you know, we should at least have a litany of questions that we ask, and, you know, obviously look a little bit deeper, because
but a huge difference between Ahmad Salam in the 1993 World Trade Center, who's covering his own butt and taping Antisef as he's, you know, encouraging him to go bomb the World Trade Center towers, okay, which was a rehearsal and maybe a failed attempt of what later became the September 11th attacks. That's the thing. I mean, what about a smoking gun? They did it. They did it. He caught them on the tape saying, give him a real bomb. He said, these are people that don't get it. They don't understand.
Yes, yes.
Can't do that.
Well, if he had the tape, we would have never known.
That would have just been a big, you know, as they're still telling us, a Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did that or something.
One little known thing is that, you know, Tim McVeigh becomes the confessed face of terrorism, but the very first story he told, he He had different attorneys at first. He was being held at Tinker Air Force Base immediately after the bombing. And he told those attorneys, I was recruited while I was in the Army to infiltrate neo-Nazi groups. He came upon this bomb plot, and they told him to stick with it. And that's the first story he tells. It's not until a few weeks later that he decides he's going to tell this lone wolf story. And his story changes as the FBI's theories of the case change. And so McVeigh actually told several stories. He told that public, you know, story about I'm the bomber and it was just me, but in private, and I can show this, he told a very different story. And, you know, so...
That's the same thread running through all of the cases. We can throw in James Holm from the Aurora, Colorado shooting as well. John in Michigan, you're on the Power Hour. Good morning. I might have caught you off guard.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Hi. Okay, thank you. Doctor, do you talk about Eric Holder in your book or expose his part of the bombing?
In the second book, I do not. I'm not so much in the first because he doesn't become directly involved with McVeigh. But in the second book, which is all about this PATCON, this counterintelligence operation, that one will go into the Department of Justice and some of their shenanigans.
What was Holder's role in all of this for the people that haven't heard this yet? Thanks, John.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, he was a higher up in the Department of Justice. Department of Justice was one of the people running this operation, but he had a direct role in the cover up of the Trentadue murders and shutting down areas of the investigation.
That's how you get the job of Attorney General. You earn your stripes. Yeah, apparently, allegedly. Jeff in Indiana, you're on the Power Hour. Good morning.
Hello.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I remember the day that bombing happened in Oklahoma City. And within a week or so, maybe it was 2 weeks. This has been 20 years ago, obviously. And you all know a lot more about it than me, obviously. I'm learning from you, and I'll get the book. But my friend came up with a videotape that was bootleg, and someone had gone down and through there with a camera underneath that building, and they photographed all of the legs of that building. And it showed where explosives had been placed. And also in that videotape, it said that every single FBI agent had been evacuated from that building before the bombing happened. And this is the first I heard about this government stuff, and I was like, no way. And I don't know all the facts that you know, but I never really believed Tim McVeigh was guilty after seeing that video.
Yeah, thanks.
Actually, the FBI didn't have an office in the Murrah building, but the ATF did, and they were evacuated, and they were told not to go into work. And
that was on mainstream local news.
Without a shadow of a doubt, there was pre-intelligence on this. There were many, many, many warnings, they were not vague warnings. This was a location, time, date, place, everything. It's just...
Well, I mean, the moral to this story is if there isn't, there's no morals. That's the moral to the story because the BATF were warned not to go to work, and the children in the daycare weren't. And I've interviewed some of the mothers of those children. It's heartbreaking. It really is. Marty in New York, you're on the Power Hour. Good morning to you.
Yeah, sure. I'm calling about the Waco disaster. It was said that some of the survivors were put in jail, and I believe one was an older lady. Does anybody ever check on them, see if they're still there, if they died?
Yes, I've been out to Waco a few times. It's been a couple years now, but I was making, trips out there once or twice a year. They still have a small congregation, and...
Are the survivors still in jail?
No one has been in jail now, right, Wendy?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because it was reported they put some of them in jail, at the time.
Well, yes. Yeah, there were trials, and, it's like the survivors of any slaughter, it's very traumatic. But what they experienced.
These two events are totally connected. I know Clive Doyle and some of the people at Waco. They're really, really, again, something I heard in the news. And when all those crazy people down south, then I lived down south for 10 years and found out these people aren't crazy, they're some of the best people you'll ever meet. They'll give you the shirt off their back, really. That's the truth of the matter. Let's see, where are we? Davey in Texas. Let me sneak you in, Davey, and if I can't get you, we'll carry you over. Go ahead. You're on the Power Hour. Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. It's hard to make it really quick, but just to touch on a couple of items, you know, Ron Noble over at Treasury assisted in the cover-up of Waco and Oklahoma City, and the real issue here is good faith versus bad faith. And long before there were manufactured patsies by these counterterrorist czars, there were the Class A stockholders of the Federal Reserve System in 1913. And those people, they're the money changers. They're the Pharisees. And when you look at a yeast infection in the face of an Alan Dershowitz, you're looking at some real terrorism right there. Not to mention Danny Deffenbaugh.
Nice, Davey. Thanks for that.
Well,
come back.
As far as
we'll
Treasury, you got to think that part of this.
Right after this break, stay with it.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe's financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Who has over 65 seed varieties of 34 different vegetables?
Down to Earth.
Who has over 63,000 seeds packaged to last 50 years?
Down to Earth.
Whose seeds can be frozen to maintain germination?
Down to Earth Seeds. No hybrids, no GMOs, just proven old-time seed varieties grown all over the country by our grandparents. Our kids have the best variety and the largest quantities of vegetable seed for the best price. Get your food security now at downtoearthseeds.com or call 870-427-3039.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
You can prevent being the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
That's why we're hour here is to give you information that should be in the news, that is going to be in the news, but completely skewed with piles of stinky propaganda. The 20-year anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, we owe it to those families, to those children, to tell the real story of what happened. And Dr. Wendy Panning has been nice enough to be with us for this hour. Wendy, it's fair to say that most people in Oklahoma City know this thing stinks. The Power Hour carries a noble lie, which you worked on. I really want people to go to the Power Mall and get that. But I really want them to get your book because you've taken this research and taken it to a whole nother level. Tell people the books, the new book coming out, the book you have out, and where to get them.
Okay, well, you can go on Shrine Day website right now and pre-order Aberration in the Heartland of the Real. It's by Wendy Panning. This Aberration in the Heartland of the Real, The Secret Lives of Tim McVeigh, that can be pre-ordered now. It's about to come out. And I'm working on the second one that goes into the nuts and the bolts of this PatCon operation. That's called Redacted. And I'm working on it now, and I'm accepting funds to complete the research and writing. But either way, it'll be out in about a year, I'd say.
And you have your own personal website, Wendy, that people can go to keep up with you. I know one of the things about writing a book like this is that's why I don't publish anything, okay? I write the book and then, there's all this new information I got to add. I can never finish the thing because it's always going.
Yep.
All right, Wendy, let me sneak in two more callers that called in to speak to you, and then we'll go to our third-hour guest and talk about the forced vaccination bill in California. I have a great guest for you on that. Phil in Florida, always good to talk to you, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Wendy. Just wanted to say that I emailed action items. I emailed Wendy's article about Terrence Yakey from a few years back. It's in a PDF. And the Oklahoma City We Are Change chapter has a trifold flyer, 10 reasons to question. And just asking the listeners to download them, print them, put them in your return envelopes for junk mail. I'm sending them to college student newspapers, asking them to pursue, along with a copy of the DVD. We can do things like this. Just get active. I hope you get the email, Jack and Catherine, and make it available to your listeners, the documents, and
thanks.
Shut up. Thank
yeah,
you.
Catherine Thank you. Can post that. And look, there's tons of stuff out there. By the way, we didn't go into the Terrence Yakey case, but he was the hero. He was on to the trail of this whole thing and was obviously murdered, and it was made to look like a suicide. So not all the cops and not all the people were in on this. Here's a good guy doing his job and ends up, taken out for it.
Yeah, and A Noble Lie, the movie I co-wrote with Holland van den Nieuwenhoff, that really does go into the Yakey story, and I had written the piece early on, but if you don't want to sleep at night and you want to stay up scared, read about Terrence Yakey and what happened to him. It is frightening.
Yeah, I mean, it shows there are people out there, they do their job, and this is what happens to them. I think this further complicates and endorses the conspiracy. Wayne in Tennessee, real quick, you'll have the last word. Welcome.
Okay, hi, thanks for taking my call. Wendy, if you want to write a real book, you show the parallel of what's going on with the same things they did to the American Indians. All the same false flags. Everything is the same. It's all one. I mean, you get lost in the forest and the trees.
That would be
without a doubt. You can show these kinds of operations tested on Native Americans. And
you write that book, Wayne. Wayne should write that book.
Yeah.
No. Thanks, Wayne. Wendy can do it.
You got a book. Thank you so much, Wendy, for joining us. So we'll talk to you real soon. We'll be back for the third hour, the Power Hour, right now.